Manashvinaha, very great heroes, mental speculators. Nirjita Dik Gajendraha, who have conquered many other heroes, as powerful as elephants. Mama, my land, my country. My family, my community, my religion. Iti, thus. Sarve, all. Great political, social, and religious leaders. Bhuvi, in this world. Vadavairaha, who have created enmity among themselves. Mride, in battle. Shariran, fall dead on the ground. Na, not. Tu, but. Tat, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vijanti, approach. Yat, which. Nyaschadandaha, a sannyasi. Gatavairaha, who has no enmity throughout the whole world. Abhiyati, attains that perfection. So, translation. There were and are many political and social heroes who have conquered enemies of equal power. Yet due to their ignorance and believing that the land is theirs, they fight one another and lay down their lives in battle. They are not able to take up the spiritual path accepted by those in the renounced order. Although they are big heroes and political leaders, they cannot take to the path of spiritual realization. So you can repeat. There were and are many political and social heroes who have conquered enemies of equal power. Yet due to their ignorance in believing that the land is theirs, they fight one another and lay down their lives in battle. They are not able to take up the spiritual path accepted by those in the renounced order. Although they are big heroes and political leaders, they cannot take to the path of spiritual realization. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Big political leaders might be able to conquer equally powerful political enemies, but unfortunately they cannot subdue their strong senses, the enemies that always accompany them. Not being able to conquer these nearby enemies, they simply try to conquer other enemies, and ultimately they die in the struggle for existence. They do not take to the path of spiritual realization or become sannyasis. Sometimes these big leaders take up the guise of a sannyasi and call themselves mahatmas. But their only business is conquering their political enemies, because they spoil their lives with the illusion of this is my land and my family. They cannot progress spiritually and attain liberation from the clutches of Maya. So Manasvino Nirjitakti Gajendra. Mameti sarve bhuvibhara vairaha mride shariram natutad vajanti yanyasta dando gata vairo viyati. So, Om Gana Tivadanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, of course, this is the consciousness of those in the mode of passion. You know, he is my enemy, I have conquered him, I want more and more and more. So in the mode of passion, generally we find kshatriyas. Each of the different varnas has a specific mode attached to it. Like the brahmanas, they're in the mode of goodness, kshatriyas in the mode of passion, vaishyas are in the mode of mixed modes of passion and ignorance, and shudras in the mode of ignorance. So generally, we find that political leaders who are influenced by the mode of passion, they're very attached to not only conquering their enemies or getting more and more land or more wealth, but they're very attached to this profit adoration distinction being worshipped. I mean, take, for example, you have North Korea, where you have this family, basically of idiots, and they have big statues of themselves erected all over, torturing the people. They couldn't care less about the people. Of course, that's ignorance, too. And they're simply interested in their own worship and keeping their own position. So that is Kali Yuga demoniac leader society. However, we find that bona fide kshatriyas, personalities like Lord Ram and Yudhisthira, they also were interested in conquering enemies, which is interesting. You know, because we have the example of Lord Ram and Yudhisthira both doing the Raja Suya sacrifice. Everyone's heard of the Raja Suya sacrifice? That sacrifice is only supposed to be executed by the emperor, who is called the King of Kings. Of course, that's also a name for Jesus Christ, too, in the Bible, the King of Kings. So the emperor is actually the king of all the other kings, Samraj Yudhisthira. That's from the movies. Watching too many Hindi movies. Anyway, so Samraj Yudhisthira ki jai. And it's interesting. It's interesting. Also, another thing. All this ki jai business is so funny. You see in the movies, and also ISKCON has sort of adapted that. And sometimes I think we've joined a football team or something like that. You understand? Like everyone's joy. It's just jai, 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 Hanuman, jai, Yudhisthira, jai, Sankirtan, jai. Everything's ki jai. I like that Prabhupada, you know, that story where Prabhupada was saying that we're going to have big buildings and big cars and a big dog and everyone went ki jai, everything. Prabhupada said that. I mean, it's just, sometimes I wonder if we're maybe a little bit too influenced by the mode of passion with all this ki jai business, you know. Actually, the brahmanas, it's interesting, when the brahmanas would acclaim, they would say sadhu, sadhu, not kijai. You know, sadhu means like the truth, you know, it's like the truth, sadhu, sadhu, not, brahmanas wouldn't be like in the mode of passion. Anyway, it's kshatriya stuff, like, yeah, vijay baba, baba, jvijay, we're building a new temple, kijai. It's just so much passion. It's too much for me.
That's her legal name.
Oh, really? Vijayanti. Yeah. Yeah, victory.
Vijay.
I think it's supposed to be Vijayanti with the flower.
Yeah, Vijayanti, but it's Vijayanti. It's Kijai. See? Victory. So, and also the kshatriyas, they fly this flag, you know, victory. And the brahmanas who were in the mode of passion, they just have this jaya putra. You understand? Putra means like a leaf, but basically they used to write on leaves, so it was like a piece of paper. So it was a jaya putra, which meant that you were the winner over someone in a debate. Like this conquering pundit went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wanted to defeat Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya defeated him, and basically, anyway, gave him mercy. And also this conquering pundit wanted to defeat Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, but he was conquered by Srila Jiva Goswami. And even Sanatan Goswami signed the Jaya Putra just to get rid of the guy. That shows how the brahmanas, they're not in the mode of passion. They don't care. If someone says, I won, all right, you won. Get out of my face. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like I gave the example when I was young. And we were in the gymnasium class and we had wrestling. And I wasn't interested in winning. I just said to the person who was over me, I said, when they count to three, one, two, three, get ready to wrestle. I said, I'm going to throw myself on the floor. So I threw myself on the floor and he won the fastest wrestling match that's ever been performed in the history of mankind. So, you know, that's passion. That's passion. Anyway, so it's always this ki jai stuff. So, anyway, getting back to the point. So you have Yudhisthira Maharaj and also Lord Ram doing these Rajasuya sacrifice. And Rajasuya sacrifice is not just a sacrifice where you go swaha, swaha, swaha. It's a sacrifice where you're declaring yourself to be the king of kings or the emperor, some Raj. And in order to do that, you have to send out this horse, the challenge horse. And the challenge horse has on its plate, there's a metal plate on the challenge horse. It says, anyone who stops this horse will have to fight with us, you know, whether it's Yudhisthira Maharaj or Ram, Lord Ram, or any other great king. It's like that. You have to fight with us. So the horse would have to go unimpeded all over the kingdom. Of course, in the story of the Ramayana, there's interesting aspects where the horse was, people attempted to stop the horse. I mean, one person attempted to stop the horse just because he wanted to see Lord Ram. That's a different thing. And ultimately, everyone was defeated. And even Lord Ram's own sons, Lav and Kush, stopped the horse. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you know, there was a fight between Lord Ram's brothers and Lav and Kush, and even Hanuman was defeated. And Lord Ram had to come to get this horse so the horse could continue on its journey. Actually, the horse was right in the province of Ayodhya, which is where Lav and Kush were staying with Valmiki Muni. So it appears externally that Lord Ram and Yudhisthira Maharaj were in the same consciousness being described here. You know, is it the fact that they were in ignorance, believing that the land was theirs, etc., etc., etc.? They fight one another and lay down their lives in battle? No. Because they were doing it out of dharma. It's interesting that the same activity, you know, externally can either be done out of dharma or in the mode of passion or in the mode of ignorance or in the mode of goodness. The same activity. I mean, just like it's talked about in the previous verse, you know, I gave this heavy class yesterday about family life. The person is bereft after death, he becomes attached to his newly born children. In this way, wanders in the path of material progress and eventually embarrassed. So the point is not to change the activity, but to change the motivation. See, Prabhupada didn't advocate that, you know, everybody would just leave their homes, although that was the preaching in the early days of the movement, that the grihasthas should just leave their wives and mothers should just drop off their children. I remember there was one person who was a sannyasi, he's no longer a sannyasi. He would park in front of the Los Angeles temple, and on his van he had this big speaker, and he would say, you know, announce through the microphone, all you grihasthas, you're in the deep, dark well of ignorance. Get out. Leave your wives. Imagine in front of Los Angeles. I mean, you'd get killed doing something like that in New Dwarka, isn't it? Because it's grihastha loka. I mean, that's where the women just, the unmarried women just sit in front of the apartment buildings looking at the potential mates. Prabhupada actually said to Shrutakirti, his servant, don't go in the kitchen, you know, because it's dangerous there. Not because of the fire or anything like that. Because of another fire. So he went into the kitchen and disobeying Prabhupada's instructions, and out came Mayapur Chandra a few months later. You know, there's like, dangerous. So anyway, the point is that's not really what we want to preach in Krishna consciousness. You know, you leave your families, and but to change your motivation. So the motivation for Yudhisthira Maharaj and Lord Ram was to protect people, protect the citizens. I mean, they were like their children. And not to conquer over them and just enjoy them. And the proof of that in Lord Ram's pastimes is that Lord Ram sacrificed his own happiness for the happiness of his citizens. He wasn't interested in conquering for that reason, but he understood, due to Dharma, that was the best thing for them. So this is a very important conception, this conception of Dharma, which is not there in the Western world. What I've experienced, you know, in primarily preaching to Western people, is that there's very little conception of Dharma. Well, Dharma, in one sense, Dharma means the inherent quality of something, but in another context it means, you could say duty, but it just means, what is your identity? It's not just duty. You know, it's not just duty. What is your Dharma? Well, my duty is to work for IBM. That's not Dharma. That may be your work, but it's not Dharma. But, you know, Dharma means really your duty that's inseparable from you. That's part of the culture, that dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The instructions given by the Supreme Lord, coming from the Lord, that makes a society Krishna conscious, makes an individual Krishna conscious. So in the Western world, there's no conception of that. So I've experienced, you know, with many of my Western disciples, if I can call them that, but that as soon as there's some like attraction or bewilderment, there's no conception that, you know, they made a promise. They should stick to what they want, stick to what they're supposed to do according to Krishna's instructions. It's just like, you know, follow the worm on the hook. That's their philosophy. That's the Western philosophy. That's why I'm seeing in most cases with the Indian people, because the Indians are now getting affected by Western mentality. Actually, it's Prabhupada's plan to bring Western people to India so the Indians could see that their original culture was actually something that was valuable. So with many of the people from India, I mean, first generation, not the ABCDs so much, American-born confused deshis, but then there's this conception of Dharma. You know, in other words, taking care of your parents, serving your guru, like that. And as far as like your impulses, you know, are taken as secondary to, or not even as important as Dharma, you know, you have to do your duty. And then I see that in Fiji, you know, that people are taking care of their parents, their aged parents. People are serving the guru sometimes. Of course, they also fight with each other. That's another interesting aspect of Indian culture, is politics, isn't it? Of course, in America we have politics too, but because we're so much in ignorance, the politics don't manifest themselves so obviously. It's just like, do your own thing. If it feels good, it's good for you and it's good for society. That's American philosophy. So if we have this conception of Dharma, then we can be a king, or someone can be a grahasta, or someone can be a business leader. Or someone can take on any of these positions. And therefore, these criticisms that are being made here in the Bhagavatam don't apply for those particular individuals. So that is the whole point, to somehow or other develop, if you haven't been born with it, develop this conception of duty, dharma. It's not separated from myself, like Lord Ram. You know, one word, one arrow, one wife. You know, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who would have liked to have married Lord Ram after he sent Sita away. I mean, he was extremely attractive, like lotus eyes and everything like that, and, you know, tall, dark, handsome, as the ladies say. But there was no question in his mind. And I'm sure that, you know, that there would have been a lot of men or whatever who would have accepted Sita Devi. But there's no question in their mind. That's Dharma. That's adherence to Dharma. And then you can remain Krishna conscious throughout your life. Otherwise, your Krishna consciousness is not very stable. On that happy note, we should end. Thank you very much. All glory.